Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Portland's favorite morning roast.
I was listening to the boys this morning.
It's time for your Sunrise Guys.
They've got really good meat.
They got great meat.
Dirt and Sprague.
No, dude, get right to the meat.
On the Fan Sports Network.
All right, hour number three. Welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague here, Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan.
Ah, good morning.
Hello, everybody. Hope your Thursdays are going great. We got Thursday night football tonight. Eagles and Giants. NFC East showdown. Swag shaking his head. He's out. We got two baseball games today.
What do we got on the NBA preseason docket?
I'm assuming the Blazers aren't playing today?
No.
After playing yesterday?
No, Friday they're at home to host the Kings.
Ooh, Friday night all of a sudden has turned into a juicy little sports night.
T-Wolves at Knicks. Might get a couple minutes from both those starters. Cavs, Bulls, Pistons, Bucks, Hornets.
No one cares!
What about the Long Lions against the Clippers? The Long Lions, by the way, are a Chinese team.
How much is Kawhi getting paid for an appearance at that game?
Wong Zhao, Long Lions.
Yeah, I can't wait to see how they look. What's going on tonight? Lots to get to in this hour of the show. We will talk Blazers preseason basketball.
Yes.
Catch the Fever coming up in a couple of moments. We'll get to it, I promise. We have not really dove into the Mariners blowing game four yet, so that's on the docket at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Some fun with audio for you. We got a loaded hour, okay? Lots still to get to. We got to make our big pack picks. Big, juicy,
we'll
big pack picks.
Yes. Everybody's playing this weekend, right?
Everybody's playing this weekend. Yes. We got four games to pick. I want to start this hour, though, with a little bit of a Pate postgame show here because we talked about something there at the end, and it's a game that is incredibly interesting for me. I don't know how the draft of the TV networks went this weekend because every week the order is different for different partners and stuff. But like, if you would have asked me the primetime game in terms of a night game, Oregon and Indiana should have had a bigger profile, but it went to the 12:30 CBS slot. And again, I don't know if CBS had the pick.
They probably had the pick over NBC.
But also, USC and Michigan is a, I mean, that's as good a brand game as you can get in the history of the sport. So if NBC did have that pick, I also don't blame them there of saying, now let's go to the Coliseum, Michigan. This is their first trip out to L.A.
Yeah.
There's a lot on the line there, right? That has become a massive, massive game for Lincoln Riley. And I think Pate tries to toe each side of the fence here where he believes in the adjustments and changes that Lincoln Riley is making, and I don't blame him. He went out and hired a defensive coordinator that is well-respected. You look at the recruiting rankings. They have gone up in the last, 16 months or so. They seemingly are taking that more seriously and investing more money. But also, he's in his fourth year, and so do you get the benefit of the doubt of changing course as a program in year four if there still are no results? And so you lose to Illinois. Their next three games, Michigan at home Saturday, on the road at Notre Dame next weekend, and then on the road at Nebraska, I believe off of a bye. I can't remember if they have a bye and then Nebraska or Nebraska and then a bye. But that's a challenging stretch that they're going into coming off of that Illinois loss. And all of a sudden, this one could be circled and they could be 4-2 at the halfway point of their season if they can't beat Michigan at home on Saturday night.
I mean, I think you also got to think about the slippery slope there. You lose to Michigan, you have one Big Ten road win under your belt so far a year and a half into this thing.
At Purdue.
And it wasn't like you won 50-0.
33-17.
A little ugly there for a minute. You needed a fat pick six, a big boy pick six to kind of separate yourself in it. And so you lose this one at home. And by the way, Sherrone Moore's not wrong. That is going to be loud Michigan fan
at
this
game. A lot of Michigan
fan
there, yeah.
And so then you go to Notre Dame. You're going to be underdog in that game. And then you've got that Nebraska game, which talk about big games for both of those coaches. Where's that going to leave them?
That's not even for USC counting them going to Eugene later this season.
Right. So your history's not great in the conference on the road, and you've got two massive ones. This one's kind of everything for you.
Last year they played Michigan. By the way, Michigan ran the ball 46 times for 290 yards. You know how many passing yards Michigan had in that win over USC?
I think it's...
The answer is 32 passing yards.
It's very fair to say that he is kind of recalibrated and he's building differently and he's taking some elements of this team seriously more so than he maybe did or should have at the start, even though they did get to the Pac-12 title game, to be fair to him, in his first year.
They did.
But then you had Caleb again, and you were massively underwhelming. And then it got even worse. And so I look at this, and because we've got a coworker that is a USC fan that likes to needle you a little bit, I just think if you reverse this, it would not be some painting of picture of, hey, it's actually better than you think if they're 8-4. Now, 8-4 is probably going to save him, and he'll be back next year, and it's going to be, you better go to a playoff, dude.
Yeah, is that when the expectations kick in and you're 5, then he's expected to do something at USC?
Why didn't you just,
like, how long do we kick this can down the road?
Who has traditionally higher expectations in college football, USC or Oregon?
USC.
So imagine we flipped everything the way it's gone for both, and you said this is where USC and the Trojans were with Lincoln Riley in your 4, and this is where Dan Lanning and Oregon were.
USC went undefeated in the regular season and won the Big Ten in their first year in the conference and was ranked number 3 in the country right now.
And Lanning is like, hey, struggling to win 9 games. Four, man.
Right.
It looks like it might be turning a little bit.
I think if that was Dan Lanning, I'd be here saying, what? 8-4 is acceptable in year 4?
Right.
And we shouldn't have higher expectations in USC.
So USC's got a real opportunity for themselves. If you go look advanced analytics, like USC is pretty highly regarded. Their offense is certainly considered amongst one of the best in the country. I don't know if that is schedule or if they clearly have figured this out with a new quarterback, with Mayava, and we know the receivers are uber-talented. But this is a big one, because to me, this isn't about quarterback. This isn't about receivers. This ain't about Lincoln's offense. This is line play this weekend, guys.
Yep.
This is all going to be about those big boys on that end. They want to pound the rock. Underwood's good. I thought he had a really good game for them last weekend. I thought Sherrone Moore was like, man, I'm sure glad he came here. Like, yeah.
Thank
I would
God
say the
for that
thing.
Guy.
This is going to be, where is your line at? Have you really taken that necessary step? Because if you want to get into the playoff conversation, you need to see it up front. Because in that conference, it's just tough with Michigan maybe taking a step next year. Ohio State is going nowhere. Oregon is going nowhere. And let's wait and see on Penn State. This weekend, to me, is about, if you're turning it, those big uglies up front on both sides of the ball, even if you lose a close game, and I walk away going, line play held itself pretty together. Mayava threw a bad ball here, or Underwood's athleticism here, like a kickoff, something. If it's close loss, but I feel good about your line play, okay. But if you get dominated in the trenches, maybe you're not as close as you think you are.
I mean, last year, again, to the point, Michigan threw the ball for 32 yards and beat them.
I remember watching that game.
The ball 60 times for 300 yards on you. That's all they could. They couldn't throw the football.
Yes.
And they just turn around and hand it off and hand it off and hand it off and hand it off and hand it off. And that's all that they needed to do to win, because they were just more physical than you at the point of the attack, and it didn't matter how many skill players you had elsewhere around the roster. Bryce Underwood is a rapidly emerging story to me in the sport. He had a rough night when they went on the road to Oklahoma, and that's to be expected. He's a true freshman, tough place to play, good defensive coach. Like, totally get it. I'm not burying the kid. He was 9-24 in that game. It was not pretty.
Got into an altercation with Justice Haynes.
It was bad. It was bad. And they even hung in that game. They were around for the majority of it, ended up losing 24-13. The next week, they get the get-right game against Central Michigan. He ran all over them for 114 yards and 2 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. They go on the road to Nebraska, where the passing numbers necessarily don't jump off the page, but he had 61 rushes. Yards and a 37-yard rushing touchdown. And this past week, to your comments on Sherrone Moore and what he said, 270 yards, completed nearly 70% of his passes, no turnovers, didn't have to use his leg a ton, and they won the game comfortably. He is emerging as a guy in this sport, and Michigan's going to be a problem in the years to come because their talent profile is great, and now maybe they have the elite quarterback to go with it. That's something in the back of my mind. But also, if you're USC, you're already looking and saying, we're what fiddle in the Big Ten? We're behind Oregon, we're behind Ohio State, we're behind Penn State. I know who's having a down year, but last year you're behind a lot of these programs, and now Michigan is just jumping ahead of you as well with a true freshman quarterback when this was supposed to be more of a pop year for you. This, to me, is the swing deciding game of their entire season.
You're a home favorite, by the way. I know
you're
it's
a home
not a big
favorite
number,
in this game.
Favored to win the game. So the whole, like, we lost a field goal walk-off win for Michigan.
It would be a Vegas upset for Michigan to win this game. So you would be letting Vegas down in that regard. You look at the rest of their schedule, this to me, this tells the entire story of their season. This game does. If you can beat Michigan, I think you're in play to win maybe 9 games this year. Nebraska doesn't look unbeatable.
No.
Notre Dame has got it going. That's on the road. That will be tough, and I don't think you're beating Oregon at Autzen later this year. But you have a good chance to go 9-3, and that would be an okay year, lowering expectations for Lincoln Riley in year 4. If you can't beat beat Michigan at home this weekend mm-hmm. with a true freshman quarterback. This is kind of how I felt about Washington, Maryland last week. Like, all of a sudden, 7-5 is in play for me if you can't win this game at home this weekend.
Oh, and they were down 20-0. That looked like right. everything you and we
they,
talked about,
they
right?
They found a way to get back they into did. It. They won the game, and now they got a chance to go win 8, maybe 9 games this year. That's huge for them in their development, but also Jed Fish is in year 2, and he's not at USC in year 4 like Lincoln Riley is.
Yeah.
So this to me, that's, I just wanted to take a moment to talk about that game. We're not going to pick it today in our Big Pack picks, but just the amount of pressure that is on them to go win one of these marquee games in the Big Ten under Lincoln Riley. And this isn't even that big of a marquee win. This isn't Ohio State. This isn't Oregon. This isn't beating, you know, some of these other teams that are in championship conversations.
This is the slight upticking Michigan
program. This is tier B. This is tier B of the Big Ten. Can you win a tier B game in the conference? Because to this point in the conference, you have not been able to do that. Mm-mm. So very curious to see how that one plays out. That's a night game, 4:30 on NBC.
Is that a bad kick time for him? Is 4:30 LA time? Like, is that too late?
Too much
is that
traffic to get into the stadium, so it won't be full at start
time. Is it too early? Does he need an 8 o'clock kick time the way you got Michigan State at home?
Yeah, it needs a little bit later. You give people time to get into their seats. This is unacceptable. I didn't sign up for this. It is pretty funny to watch them blow up a 100-year conference and not be able to win road games in the Big Ten, though. Isn't that pretty good? Hey, they got one, though. I should be fair. Purdue.
I mean, it's not been good for my program, to say the least, but it is kind of funny from that perspective of you guys.
We're better than this. We're better than this. Let's go to the Big Ten.
I mean, it's just kind of the reporting, right? Oh, crap. Oregon's better than us. Let's get out of here.
Uh-oh.
And then they came calling into the same conference.
We're here now. We're the captain now. Let's get to what happened last night. More of the same from one player. Is there a tune changing on another player? Mm. And is this guy the breakout star? What are we going to talk about? You know it. Blazer preseason basketball next, 105.1 FM The Fam.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, was it just my imagination, or did I turn on a Blazer game last night and see a young guard hunting shots, looking confident, competent on the defensive end, in a contract year?
Oh, the temptations of a general manager to not get on the phone with an agent and say, here's $100 million, buddy.
Lock him up now. Look, a handful of takeaways from the game last night.
You have a handful, huh?
I do. I actually do. I told you I was going to watch this game last night. The Dodger-Philly game kind of sucked.
I had one.
Only one takeaway?
Only one. Okay. I didn't watch the entire first half. Okay. I missed it because of practice, but I final couple minutes of the first half and then the third quarter.
Well, let's start with the positive. The positive had to have been Shaedon Sharpe, who was in the starting lineup last night. They brought Denny Avdia off the bench, so your starting lineup was Drew Holiday. First starting lineup of the year, preseason. Drew Holiday.
Well, we were told not to put too much stock.
They're just trying.
Chance is mixing and matching and pieces. Trying
yep.
things.
Pieces are moving. You had Drew Holiday, Shaedon Sharpe, Tumani Kamara, Jeremy Grant, and Donovan Klingon. Game one, preseason game one starting lineup.
Yes.
I mean, look, the biggest takeaway of the game had to have been Shaedon Sharpe, who looked confident, he looked aggressive, and a guy who we've talked about because he's in a contract year and in a big prove-it spot for them, and they might be bringing him off the bench, which...
Not if he plays like that.
Looked awesome last night.
Oh, yeah, they will.
That would be criminal.
Oh, yeah, they will. Make
that
him
would
earn
be
it.
Criminal.
Earn it. Make him earn it.
Earn it.
Earn it.
Stop what have
it.
You done?
Exactly. Jeremy Grant earned his starting spot last night.
Jeremy Grant has a gold medal. By the way, do people remember that? Or is that one of those, like, oh my God, he was on one of those teams?
I had no clue he was on one of those teams. What team? What Olympic team?
I think it was the COVID one, the 2020.
He was on that team?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, okay. I'll take your word for it.
Okay.
God, is that why we gave him an $800 million contract?
Well, it wasn't $800
million. When we knew Damian Lillard was walking? Is that why we did that? Look, I was the one trying to be positive here, and you're the one that has dug me down to the depths, okay?
Yeah, he was on the 2020 Tokyo Olympic team.
He was on the Olympic team.
No, here's the thing. For me, I don't know what a handful of stuff for you is. The lineup's going to change, and he's going to have a game where Shaedon doesn't start, and it's going to go back and forth on all these. Dude, I don't know, and I didn't see as much as you guys saw, right? I was catching up. I was seeing the box score because I couldn't
right out of the
it.
Gate. He had 20 points in the first half, Shaedon Sharpe did.
20 in the first half. I think he finished the game with 22, correct?
22. He played
one shift in the third quarter.
He hung around about mid-third quarter-ish point. Dude, I saw a guy, and again, preseason, so we're not
going. Nah, dude, dive in. Don't be scared.
Well, if he didn't play well, there'd be people diving in about how exactly awful he was. And
that's why you don't give him $90 million.
So, yeah, I'm going to dive in a little bit and say I just saw a player that, one, was allowed to kind of operate more in what his game flow is. Like, we want to talk about the new offense. That's kind of something I'm interested in is, one, what is the offense? How is it going to look?
Ant's not dominating the ball anymore. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, they gave him the ball and they let him dribble a little bit, and he found his mid-range points and he was able to attack and be aggressive, found some guys. Like, I just liked what I saw. Looked like a confident player ready to say, I'm going to go prove this year. Now, again, it's preseason game one, but...
Sure, 4 of 8 from 3 helps too for a guy who had question marks about shooting.
You can't poo-poo it because it's preseason, and then in the same vein, say, if he doesn't play well, it's concerning. You think you'd bring it preseason game one. So right. I'm going to give him the credit and say I really liked what I saw, and if he's going to be able to operate this way, I'd love to see him take advantage and be 50% from the field and 50% from three. But if he is going to take advantage and hit those shots, there's not a doubt in my mind you give him a contract. You have no choice at that point.
He's 21 years old, yeah.
I think he's 22. But 22, it's great to see that start of the season for him to come out and be aggressive, hunt those shots, use his handle a little bit. I thought Lamar brought up a good point, man. He was is operating with a confident handle and getting to the spots that he wants to shoot from. So that was my only takeaway. I know what your guys is going to be, but I didn't really have much else because I didn't have a lot of other questions or things I'm looking to, and that was great to watch, to see him operate that way.
Swag, your takeaway from last night?
Tumani knocking down wide-open threes in the first quarter was great. If he does that, he took the shots when the ball came to him and he knew he was open and he stepped into it and knocked him down. I don't want him forcing him, that sort of thing. He did have the one where he was jab-stepping, I think, in the second quarter.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, God, if he hits that, look out. but he knocked down open ones. I hope Drew Holiday's just early season because he couldn't make anything. And if he's the starting point guard, he's got to be able to at least hit a little 8-step in inside the three and knock that down and be respected. Otherwise, nobody's going to guard him. They're going to sag and clog the middle. Do I read anything into Klingon playing 11 minutes, or is that because Golden State doesn't have a real center?
Yeah, Golden State. I mean, the other part of this is
they had Horford and Post and whoever. Yeah. So
it's not a traditional center.
And I'm saying, do I read anything into that, or is that a lineup thing? Because there really wasn't anybody for him to guard.
No.
Until they get some dudes back who, like Scoot and whoever else isn't going to start, I think it's going to be a short rotation because that bench was there's nobody there that should be seeing the floor.
Yeah, Klingon in the next one is
what do we
be...
make of Young Hansen in his debut?
About what I expected.
He's a project. He's gonna be back and forth to the remix. He's not used to
Oh, you think he's gonna be back and forth?
I think they want him to get minutes because I think he's gotta get used
to
used to the officiating.
Rob's
he's not used to the officiating.
He's gonna play Duop instead.
They're gonna get him early, but he's going to be in foul trouble constantly.
He had 6 fouls last night in 21 minutes.
Exactly.
He's a rookie, right?
That happens. Remember Greg Oden?
He's not going to get the whistle to start with, so that he's got to get used to. And the game's still moving a little fast for him.
Donovan's 11 minutes, I don't know what to make of that. It's game one of the preseason. But, like, Friday's interesting. Like, if it's a minutes thing with him, and to my knowledge, I think he's playing. If Sabonis is playing, I want to see Donovan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's get 25, 30 minutes out there on Friday night. Yeah. Why not? A lot of these other guys did. Yeah. I think the biggest question we all had coming into the year was, where's the offense going to come from?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the million-dollar question for this team. I want to talk about there's a win-loss projection out there for him from somebody, or for the Blazers, from somebody that we respect in the NBA world, and I want to tell you what his projection is and ask how we would feel about that and if we agree.
We'll get him on after vacation, by the way.
Yes.
I reached out to him.
So. We know they're good defensively. That is well talked about, well documented. How good? That's to be debated. But we know they're going to be good defensively. We don't know where the offense is going to come from. That's why the sharp stuff was a nice sight of, like, all right, he's handling
the
rock.
He's a bucket guy.
He's not standing in the corner. It's not Anthony Simons dribble, 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 dribble. It's just, I really enjoyed watching that.
It's an underrated part, Dirt, is the whole, like, standing in the corner. Scoot bitched about that last year. Like, I don't, why am I standing in
Get him
corner?
Involved. These are the guys you use top 10 picks on. Anthony Simons' time was done. That just, I'm so much more in now without him on the roster. I can't even tell you. You mentioned the Tumani part. Like, that's the other aspect of offense is what can his offensive game turn into this year and what is the ceiling on him? So, game one, it was really good to see. Mm-hmm. The only other takeaway that I had is, there's just a weird thing going on right now with this guy and the way he's answering questions about coming off the bench or not coming off the bench. God forbid we bring him off the bench. Jerami Grant was dog ass last night, and he was terrible last year. It's game one of the preseason. I know.
2 of 11, though.
I'm not rushing to a conclusion. He was awful
if there's
in that
one
game.
Guy that you just
But we're paying him $150 million, so we have to have him in the starting lineup. Like, the only thought I had watching that game last night is I'm trying to be more optimistic and positive because Jody's finally on her way out. I'm very excited about Tom Dundon. They made moves in the offseason that I supported. Anthony Simons' time to go was now, and they finally pulled the trigger on that.
Ayton, bye-bye.
DeAndre Ayton was just a walking, you know, empty stat sheet, and I'm excited to see him not on the team anymore. If you bring if you have Jerami Grant in your starting lineup and Shaedon Sharpe's coming off the bench, I'm going to have a really hard time with that because you cannot tell me earn it when this guy's not elite defensively anymore. He's doing nothing to help you on the offensive end, and you're just starting him because he's a veteran who makes a lot of money.
Well, I mean, look, 2 of 11, not a great start to the preseason.
It's game one of the preseason.
Least,
I get it. We'll see how the rest of the preseason goes.
You know, we heard him in the media day of like, I thought I was getting traded, and it's 160,
he's a guy who doesn't want to be here anymore.
It's 160, not 150.
Thank you. Thanks for the reminder.
You undersold it by 10 mil.
Yes, I did. And he went from 2 years ago in Portland, he averaged 21 points per game, 45% shooting, 40% from three. Last year, it was down to 14 points per game. Yep. Almost 10% fell off his field goal percentage, and he went from 40% from three to 36% from three.
I mean, I just, the whole, like, prove it and earn it, and I get that that's kind of the rhetoric, but I also find that laughably bad. It's not proving it. It's not earning it. There's a contract veteran guy thing, and that's it. Because it's not play. It's not. But Shaedon will get his opportunity. If Shaedon just worries about Shaedon and not, I'm in the lineup, not in the lineup, and he said in the media day, I'll play wherever. You want me to come off the bench? I'll do it.
He's like, handling it well for
you. He took a great approach, and 9 of 15 from the field, 4 of 8 from 3, 6 boards, like,
gets the start on the first preseason night and delivered.
He went out and did what he was supposed to
do.
And
he was engaged defensively. He's still learning. He still got pump faked.
Yeah,
that's
not going to be his strength.
He's
but
never
he was
be
engaged
an
defensively. He wasn't just passive standing there looking around.
Good start for him. Bad start for the Jerami has to be in the starting lineup crowd, but that'll work itself out throughout the season. Chauncey, you say this about Chauncey, right? You can be somewhat critical of what Chauncey's tenure has been from a percentage-wise. It's been truly horrific. But I do think Chauncey is flexible and not stubborn to the point where if it's really going to keep going this way, I think he makes a move.
There's no reason and no excuse to not to. That's
the
whole point.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I think,
how long are we going to bang our head against the wall and say this isn't going to change or this is going to look differently when it was awful last year? And again, it's one game. Maybe he goes off for 30 on Friday night against Sacramento and we're like, hey, there you go. Jerami Grant, what a game. He looked awful.
The other
first
question
half
I have, they came out, you know, everybody was picking up at midcourt. They did some full court pressure. Can they sustain that level of energy playing at that pace with how short their bench is
going to be? I'm not ready to buy that. By the way, that's always the media day takeaways. We're going to play faster up tempo. Like, that was a traditional Stotts thing as well.
Yeah.
You know, I know they want to do some of this stuff. I'm not buying that this is going to be every game Nolan Richardson. I think there's going to be moments in it, like little spurts.
That's right.
But because of the depth issues that you point out, rightfully so, like, I just don't think you're able to do that as much as you want.
Yeah, until you get
to
Rob Williams and Thybulle and Scoop back, you can't do that. You can pick and choose moments. Maybe you're feeling like, hey, we've got a little momentum. Let's go to a press, see if we can take a 6-point lead to a 14-point lead before halftime.
Caleb Love,
something like that.
Caleb Love. All right, that's all the takeaways I have. Game one of the preseason was last night. Watched the entire first half, and then I was like, all right, that's enough preseason basketball for me, but some takeaways nonetheless. Fun to talk about. Now let's get to the projections. Somebody out there in the NBA, a well-respected NBA mind, said this is what your Blazers will do this season. How do we feel about the prediction? And if it is ending up being correct, if the prediction ends up being correct, how do we view the season? Let's talk about that. We'll do it next. All right, we got to get to our big pack picks coming up in a little bit. We have not talked about the Mariners yet. That's in the notes. People making fun of the Yankees last night. We'll get to that. I have some fun with audio that I thought deserved to be played because it's been a rough go for Oregon State University.
Oh, God, this again?
It's not bad. I have fun with audio. Can you back me up here? Pretty good?
This is positive. This is inspiration.
Oh, a Beaver fan saying you still believe.
No,
it's not a fan. No. It's not a fan. I'll play it for you.
Okay, all right.
It was one moment of like, you know what, that was cool. Good for him, and that was fun to listen to. So we'll get to that at some point. How does it feel to talk about preseason basketball?
Move, screen.
That sound
move.
And the NFL offensive lineman. Underrated sound in sports.
Get you going a little bit.
I mean, I just...
With the crack of the bat in BP?
That's a
crack of the bat in BP is pretty solid.
It's pretty great.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, it's preseason. We're not trying to sell you something that...
it's just fun. It was fun to have him back last night.
It was nice to have it back. It's going to be nice to have it on a random Tuesday.
I'm glad
they
were playing the Warriors, and the Warriors played their dudes, too.
Yeah, they had their starters in the game for the majority of the first half.
Now, did their dudes look totally checked in?
No.
No,
they don't quite.
But nobody should.
To prove
it's the preseason.
Do.
But their dudes were out there. It wasn't Brandon Pajemski and
Steph Curry not playing and
Kuminga starting.
Well, we're getting close to the tip off of the season. What are we, 2 weeks away? Less than 2 weeks away from the start?
21st, I want to
say. 21st is opening night. So
somewhere
a week from next Tuesday, I believe would be. It's right around the corner.
Yep.
I saw the thing about the Inside the NBA crew and their opening week schedule on ESPN and all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're almost there. That means it is time for projections on what's going to happen in the upcoming season. Kevin Pelton is as good as it gets in the NBA. We've had him on the show a million times. We'll have him on before the season starts. And he went through every team in the NBA and released his win-loss projections or projected wins for every team in the league.
Okay.
And I want to ask, one, how do we feel about the projection? And two, how would we view the season if that is how it ended up going? So he went through everybody in the NBA. He has the Portland Trailblazers. Drum roll. His projected wins this year for the Trailblazers is 35.8.
35.8?
35.8. The description, and I'll tell you where that falls in the Western Conference.
By the way, you're James Harden days away from the tip-off
of
the NBA
touche.
Season.
Thank you. We forgot about that one. Portland won 36 games last year and upgraded in my projections by swapping Anthony Simons for Jrue Holiday. The market is right to be skeptical of Portland's 23-18 second half, driven in large part by poor opponent three-point shooting, which doesn't typically carry over. Still, this line seems like an overreaction for a team that wants to compete for a play-in spot. Now, his line he's talking about there is the over-under for their year, which is somewhere in the 33 to 34 range, depending on the book you get.
I was stunned how low it was. And it's not that I think this team is stacked to the ceiling with talent. It's just like that much lower?
That's pretty low, right? They won 36 games last year. 35.8 wins would project them to be 12th in the Western Conference. The only teams worse than them this year would be Phoenix, New Orleans, and Utah.
Yeah.
One, how do we feel about 35.8? Two, how do we view let's just round up and say another 36-win season.
36 and 46, that would be a little disappointing.
I mean, yeah, I'd say so, right? If you don't have an improvement on win-loss record.
Okay, so now that you said that, I just want to make sure we set the table of this stuff because this preseason is going to fly by October 22nd.
Yeah,
there's
three more
games. What the thoughts are on the year and what they should accomplish.
So when you say it's a little disappointing, you're telling me you don't really put an expectation of play-in on the team because you're not getting into the play-in with 36 minutes.
No.
If you watched, think about how many dudes can actually play starting the season. 7 or 8? They might come out of
the
gates.
You're not wrong there.
And lose a bunch of games just because they might build leads if they get a starting five and develop some rotation. But unless you're going to burn dudes out playing 38, 40 minutes with your starters, and as we mentioned, offense at times might be challenged if Jeremy Grant's going to be Jeremy Grant, if Klingon doesn't give you anything down in the post and he's only playing 15 minutes a night and they don't have a backup center and Yang's not ready.
Yeah.
Unless they drill threes like they did in the first half. So,
I mean, this is something I pointed to with Donovan specifically because I'm excited. It's not even like a breaking news in any way take. He's good on defense. Yeah, we know. More at 11.
Jrue Holiday can't make jump shots.
It's
what
offense.
Are we doing?
It's offense. Like, if Donovan's not taking... Like, then this is where the process of elimination offensively has to come into a factor here. If Jeremy's going to be this again, if Donovan's not taking a step, right?
Offensively,
if Tamani is largely statistically what he was last year.
Good at times, but inconsistent occasionally. And
boy, if that Denny Avdia 27 a game, 26 a game that I've heard about doesn't 20. Take that lump. Or it wasn't even 20 last year.
Yeah.
If it's 17, 18 again, that's where we talk about the offense of this. And I noted the Richmond stat, 44 of the last 50 teams to finish top 10 defensively, because that's everything they're holding on to, right?
We're elite defensively.
We're elite defensively.
Yes.
The last 41, we were top whatever. The last 44 of 50 teams to finish top 10 defensively made it. So if that's them and they don't, you are talking historically about an all-time letdown situation.
Now, you're an outlier.
Two of your top defenders are hurt to start the season, so you've got that. And unless their defense can generate a flurry of easy transition buckets, that's where the defense, if they can actually force steals or quick shots and run out and they're getting layups, that's how they overcome it. But if they have to go down and set up in the half court frequently until they get some more dudes back, I don't know how they sustain things night to night.
I think you're placing a little much on one of those guys hurt. Like Rob Will, we know the impact he is when he's playing. They did largely what they did last year with no Matisse.
Yeah, I honestly at times last year forgot he was even on the team.
He played 15 games.
Yeah,
they didn't do what they did because Matisse Thybulle played for 41 games. They did what they did because of Tumani Kamara. Yeah. He was outstanding. Donovan was good, right? Like Matisse being out, yeah, it's a little bit of a setback. You should still be a good defense if that is what you tout.
Especially adding Drew Holiday to the mix, swapping him for Anthony Simons. It will improve you defensively.
So, like, I don't know if KP's going to end up being right. He is one of those, like, I do think he's valid in pointing out percentage plays of
what happened at the end of last season.
Yeah, shooting splits went kind of more your favor. I do think you could still go back and check schedule stuff, but
how many times do they play a team without their best player as well in that bunch at the end of the year?
It's and the whole, like, well, they're balancing guys. They have all this youth, and yeah, but they've been balancing this youth veteran stuff the entire way. Like, they've made it look like they're going to go complete youth, and then they bring in a vet. And so it's like, for me, I don't even look at that. I just simply say, it's your five, man. Make the play-in.
That's, to me, totally fair.
That's not an unfair ask to be one of the 10 teams in the Western Conference.
Last year, it was Dallas as the 10 seed. They won 39 games.
Everybody says you're better than New Orleans. Everybody says you're better than Phoenix. Everybody, not Kevin Pelton, but everybody says you're better than Sacramento, and we know you're better than Utah. There's four teams right there.
And so
be a playing team.
Yeah, based off his projection, if they can steal one extra game a month, that's 41.
Yes, you're right there.
Then you're in the play-in.
Yeah, I
lean that they will be, by the way.
You do lean that they will be?
A play-in team.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my expectation, and I do think they can steal that one game a month because they've got guys who give an S every night.
I think it's okay, too, to like have, at some point, there have to be expectations. Like, this can't just be a...
You're going to go to year six and say
build in perpetuity of like, you know, well, next year we'll do it. Well, next year, year's the big trade. And I think what highlights that more so for me, I wouldn't have had that... I would have had this fear maybe in the back of my mind had certain things not changed in the offseason. Like, you got an owner who's taking over who is going to come in and shake things up if there are not...
You're not making
a win-loss improvement,
everybody's
right?
Everybody's job might be on the line there.
That's the whole point. So, like, this is the year where it's like, all right, you've had 4 or 5 years to build this out. You just gave contract extensions to the general manager and the head coach, who I don't think Cronin's been terrible. I have issues with some of the stuff that he's done. He hasn't been perfect, but no GM is. But, like, at some point, there has to be an expectation of, are we taking a jump? Because they took a jump last year. And then you touted that jump to say, these guys deserve contract extensions. Mm-hmm. Now, if you tell me the next year they just plateau and they're exactly the same, to me, that would be a massively disappointing season for Portland. I'm not asking you to win a playoff series. I'm not even asking you to make the playoffs. I think a base level expectation of this year should be playing. And if you only win 35 games or 36 games, guess what? You're not in the play-in, and it's a disappointing
year. I mean, 36.
And it's okay to say that.
Yeah, 36 was 3 games out of the play-in.
You're
last
not that
year.
Far off, dude. It's not that big of a difference between being from where they were to where Dallas was in the 10 seed. That's all. That small of a margin is all you're asking for them to improve this year. What was their win-loss jump from 2 years ago to last year? What did they win? 20.
It was 15
wins?
Games. It was 15 21.
Games, 21 to 30.
Yeah,
so that's
bad.
I'm not asking
left.
For 36 right. to 51. I'm asking for, can you go 36 to 39?
Yeah.
Can you go 36 to 40? That's not a huge jump. They should be asked to do that. And Pelton says 35 wins on the year. Let's get to, we're not going to have time. I'm going to kick the big pack picks to the final hour. Let's ask, where's the pucker factor and make fun of this team again? Because, you know, why not do it the entire show? That is next, 105.1 FM, The Fam.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I don't know what your Mount Rushmore is of making fun of teams that lose.
Oh.
But the Yankees are got to be on everybody's list, right?
Mine are sadly kind of predictable.
Are they? Yankees, Lakers, Duke.
You know what's weird? The Lakers one, I don't really care.
It's because you're a LeBron guy.
No, I have nothing to do with LeBron.
I think it does. LeBron guy over there. Not the GOAT.
Basketball, I find, is harder one for me to make fun of. And I would argue that in my life, and I know the Lakers have caused quite the heartache and heartbreak.
Yeah, it's the last time we won a conference finals game was against that team.
It's hard to beat making Draymond Green lose.
Yeah, Draymond Green's pretty good. The hatred of Draymond Green has definitely risen. This happened last night on FS1 at the end of the game. It started with a player, and then a former player, current analyst, jumped in.
Dale, the Yankee lose. Hey, let's do it again. The Yankees lose. The Yankees lose. Let's go, baby.
But you don't take it personal.
Derek Jeter all butthurt on the corner of the set. Laughing at his face. So that was Vladdy. Vladdy Jr. Yeah. was on the postgame show. They're, you know, pouring champagne on
Poppy's
his head.
Sitting between A-Rod and
right in between
Jeter.
A-Rod
That's
and
what
Jeter.
Makes it beautiful.
So Vladdy's the first one. He's like, hey, guys, guess what? The Yankees lose. And then him and Ortiz start going back and forth.
I give you a take on that. The A-Rod part, A-Rod didn't care.
No, I don't think
A-Rod's
he cares
played,
at all.
He was laughing. He was like,
well,
yeah,
he played.
Kind of
I mean,
Jeter was the one that was, you could tell, is like, yeah, this isn't funny.
Yeah, when they're previewing the Mariners, A-Rod's trying to go reassociate his start of his career and latch on to the 95 refuse to lose guys.
Yeah, that was pretty fun last night. I don't want to dive into the Mariners yet because they deserve a little more time than this. I just wanted to play that audio because it's, you know, the Yankees
Who's
losing.
Who's your Mount Rushmore?
Yankees are definitely on there.
I'm surprised to hear you say that. I just would have thought, baseball-wise, you'd stay more NL, but I guess the Yankees are so universally hated or
well,
loved.
Well, here, I guess for me,
they've never broken your heart.
No.
They've ripped my heart out.
Sure.
I cried in 96.
I guess I'm viewing it two different ways, right? So for me, there's
my
like...
My mom called me a little bitch.
Yeah, a little bitch. Stop
you
crying.
Crying over a baseball game?
Because I guess to the point of like rivalries, like there's certainly teams that I root for more. This is more of like a... I was thinking more of like a generic, like collective rooting against. Like I root against the Washington Huskies and the LA Dodgers more than I do any other sports team.
So there's two Rushmores.
So those would be two for me personally. This is more of like a general... The collective Yankees, and you know,
Yankees,
they didn't cause me any pain. I love
Notre
watching
Dame
lose.
Football.
Notre Dame.
Notre
football.
Dame does it for you, huh?
Yeah.
The Beavs own them.
I know.
So what do you care?
I just think in general, like he's saying, I think a lot of people
the
are,
collective
no,
rooting
I'm asking
to the
your guys is Rushmore.
Oh. So my Rushmore
we
would
know
be
what the collective
Washington
Lakers?
Number one, okay. Dodgers number two,
the San Francisco Giants.
Mm-hmm.
The
funny thing is, neither of you will name another NL West team.
No, I don't care about the Padres or the Rockies or the Diamondbacks. That brings me... USC, why not? I'll throw USC on
you
there.
You do love to needle USC and have for a long time.
It's fun to watch them.
Watching us take over and be the dominant program on the West Coast has been one of the joys of my life.
What are one of the joys of your life?
The 49ers.
Well, Oregon taking over USC.
49ers still do it to you?
Yeah.
Even though you're not a Cowboy fan
Even
anymore?
Even though they wrecked, mm-hmm. I can't stand
damn right
the 49ers.
Cowboy spin point.
God, finding a fourth one's hard. There's a lot of teams that I like watching to lose. I'm trying to think of like somebody who's caused me pain.
It could be the Lakers.
Yeah.
Is the Lakers?
I mean,
it sounds like it doesn't do it for you either.
To your point, we have been so irrelevant as compared to them for 25 years that it's not what it used to be. 10-year-old me would tell you, like, yeah, without a doubt, we're not That's not a rivalry.
They also were better than us every time.
Always.
The only time we disappointed against them was the 90 the Cliff year finals, where,
yeah,
or the 90-91.
The year we should have been in the finals.
Yes.
Yes.
And lost.
And they beat us somehow and then lost to Jordan.
And
but,
then 2000.
Yeah, but I'd say at least like we choked that away, but also they have Kobe and Shaq. You didn't lose that game and say, we're going to get them next year. You're like, damn, dude, Kobe, Shaq. And then the next year, Kobe, Shaq.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like, that they had a thing where, yeah, we hate them because they're L.A. Beat L.A. is always a fun thing. And I'm not speaking for everybody here. But they've always been better than us.
Always. Largely. It's not a rivalry. I remember getting to college and rooming with a kid, a buddy of mine to this day, who's from L.A., and asking him about his thoughts on the Blazer-Laker rivalry. And he looked at me and laughed. I was like, what? We're rivals? I was like, yeah, like, you know, remember we used to,
remember 2000?
And that was right when Kobe was winning back-to-back NBA championships,
yes,
and we were in a rebuild,
yes,
and not in the playoffs, yeah, and, you know, it's like, we're not rivals at all, so.
I think part of this, you need something to have really...
Yeah, you need something to have chapped your ass.
Because prior to 2000, I didn't really have anything in the Blazer-Laker thing.
No, because I'm not old enough to remember Cliff and the blunder in the year that they should have gone
most
to the finals.
No, actually, when I, heyday of Blaze, it was the Jazz.
Jazz,
Carl
I hated
Malone,
Jazz. Same.
Stockton, I hated them.
One. The Jazz
the Rasta
are a good
Monster
one.
And
now
all
they,
that.
Yeah, and I don't know if I hate them anymore. They've
well,
been
quit.
They've
I
mean, quit.
Well, they're
been
so
irrelevant
bad
for a long time.
That, yeah.
They want to be so bad.
Well, the Yankees lose, and they're in the offseason. Welcome to Cabo, baby. let's get to our Big Pack picks. We'll start the final hour there. We'll get into the Mariners, who now are facing a, boy, oh boy, Pucker Factor Game 5. We got Thursday Night Football. It's a loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 FM, The Fam.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.